Welcome to ESG Unlocked by ISS Corporate, a podcast that features engaging and insightful discussions with ESG and sustainability experts around the world. I am your host, Pamela Mutomwa. On this episode, we will be exploring the topic of artificial intelligence, also known as AI, and its various risks, as well as the strategic steps companies can adopt to keep pace with the latest AI developments. Our guest today is an expert at this, Ryan McManus. Ryan is an entrepreneur, executive, investor, board director, and advisor. He is the founder of Tectonic, where he advises Fortune 500 companies, governments, startups, as well as private equity investors on AI. Ryan is a member of the board of directors of North Tech Systems, president of the National Association of Corporate Directors, New York Chapter, Board of Directors, and Sponsorship Committee Chair, chairman of the Board of Empower, chair of the Advisory Board of the Columbia University Technology and Growth Hub, and serves on several AI startup advisory boards. He founded Accenture's digital transformation practice after serving as the Accenture Strategy Chief Operating Officer. Ryan was recognized as one of the top 100 most influential corporate directors by the National Association of Corporate Directors in 2023. Ryan, I'm honored to have you join the ESG Unlocked community. Welcome.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we have quite a bit of ground to cover, so let's get right into it. We've seen and heard so much chatter over the last year about AI and its risks and impacts on people and society in general, both positive and negative impacts. When I was researching the topic, I came across some information that really emphasized how extremely fast-paced our current world is when it comes to tech reach and adoption. For example, when Netflix was created back in 1999, it took them 3.5 years to have 1 million users. Instagram, 11 years later, in 2010, it took them about 2.5 months to reach the same 1 million users metric. And then when ChatGPT launched, it took 5 days to get to 1 million users, and then less than 2 months to have 100 million. It really illustrates how, from a business opportunity perspective, AI enables organizations and teams to accomplish things that were clearly previously thought to be impossible. So AI is here, it's been here, and it's changing our world forever. So let's start off by setting the scene here, Ryan. What is considered AI so we can demystify what people quickly assume is limited to?
Sure. So I think a couple of things to set the stage here. There are pretty important differences between what I'll categorize as traditional AI and generative AI. And traditional AI, as you described, has been with us for many, many years, decades. And has really demonstrated its effectiveness in terms of parsing through large data sets and sort of largely being a superpowered analytics capability. And I think a lot of organizations have gotten used to the implementation of those tools. They're getting stronger, they're getting faster, but we've had the capability for a while. Generative AI is a really fundamentally different level of capability. And it allows us to ask a very different question, which is, in a nutshell, what can we build? What can we create? Or to use the term, what can we generate? And that is a fundamentally different and new capability. We've never had machines that can do that. And so In a nutshell, this is the difference that we're all racing to understand it. We're all racing to take advantage of. And then on the other side, we're also all racing to make sure that we don't get exposed in sort of security or some of the emerging risk categories that this represents. Because of that new capability, for those of us who are sort of paying attention to this space, who've been working in this space, I would say for the first time, certainly in the entirety of my career, at least since Internet V1, we're hearing more and more leaders, not only from technology, but from large government organizations, large associations, large banks, large financial services, large pharmaceutical organizations, et cetera, large educational institutions, all sort of saying the same thing, which is we've never seen anything like this, and this might be the biggest change that we've ever seen. And it's because of that fundamentally new capability that Gen AI represents. And so part of my question for leaders is whether or not we're really grasping that atomic unit of change that is sort of driving edge of all of the different things that are happening. but it's also a pretty vast space. And so I like to look at basically four categories of capabilities that both traditional and then, of course, generative AI can help us with. Advanced problem solving, differentiated levels of efficiency, what I'll call superpowered learning, and then fourth, complex solution engineering. And so a few examples on each of these. In terms of problem solving, just a couple of years ago, DeepMind was able to crack a 50-year-old problem in protein chemistry. And it took 5 years for the AI to solve the problem and effectively create an algorithmic capability to create new pharmaceuticals from. And that had been a problem that effectively had remained unsolved for decades and decades and decades, despite innumerable sort of human attempts, ongoing human attempts to crack the problem. And so we're able to solve things that we haven't been able to solve before with traditional means. You're seeing a lot of that happening in Gen AI now with some of the advanced mathematical problems, where either we can get to a brand new solution or we can get to the same solution in different ways. Either way, we have advanced learning that's coming through those problem-solving capabilities.
Yeah.
The second level is around efficiency. And here we have some very strong evidence around, for example, developer productivity, both in terms of code generation, but also quality assurance. Some of the figures that we're seeing are 200, 300% jumps in individual productivity that lends us to ask a lot of new questions. If we're in leadership positions, such as how do we incentivize and reward that kind of differentiated capability? Microsoft just shared not too long ago a little anecdote from an organization called G&J, who has a technician field service, where they were able to cut the time it takes to manage the work order completion process from about 2 business weeks down to 45 seconds. The third area is what I would call superpowered learning. And this is where we're starting to have the capability to see new patterns that we just never explored before. And there's a lot of fascinating things that are coming out here. There was a report out recently about the best predictor of stock market returns, looking at decades and decades of equity market returns and actually targeting one of the ratios that largely stock pickers had ignored because it was a very small sort of data set. But in terms of the numbers and the performance, it's absolutely differentiated. That's a very small nugget of a capability that's represented in much larger kinds of shifts that we're seeing, for example, in hedge fund investment strategies, where some of the world's largest hedge funds are saying they are retooling their entire approach to be machine learning driven 100% because of these new pattern recognition and advanced, effectively real-time predictive pattern recognition capabilities. And then the fourth area is what I'd call complex solution engineering. And here I think is really one of the least well understood but most powerful long-term things that leaders need to be paying attention to. And this is where we can really start asking different questions about our business model and the capabilities that we want to bring to the markets that we serve. And here we're looking at effectively the machines helping us to build new products, build new services, build new, as I say, complex solution designs that we weren't capable of doing before. And there's a number of emerging examples here. NASA's been using it to create new componentry for some of its spacecraft. In one particular use case, they were able to deliver a 10x reduction in development time and cost and see a 300% improvement in terms of stability and performance of that capability, the structural performance. Across those four areas is really a richness, both the offense and the defense, for organizations to be taking advantage of.
Absolutely. That was really informative, Ryan. Thank you for explaining all of that, breaking it down for us. Clearly, there's a lot of excitement, right, surrounding all of these opportunities that you talked about. And from a business and shareholder value perspective, there are also risks. In fact, earlier in the year, in February 2024, a company was sued in a federal securities class action, alleging that the company had committed securities fraud with its misleading statements about its AI capabilities. And then since then, in March of this year, the SEC announced AI washing settlements with a couple of investment advisors. Ryan, what are some examples of misleading claims or even AI misuse that we see organizations across various industries making today?
Well, this is a very interesting development. As fast as artificial intelligence has sort of captured our imagination and captured the headlines and everything else, arguably the regulatory response globally has been equally as fast, and certainly faster than what we've seen compared to previous technological cycles, technology cycles. So the particular case that you're referring to that came out of the SEC, which solved these charges, was, again, for making those false and misleading claims about the use of AI. I'd argue the cutting edge of making sure that there is the requisite amount of transparency in disclosures, in business models, in the communications that organizations bring to market in order to protect customers, protect investors, and protect the fidelity of the markets. It's very, very early days here. And what I think is happening is that regulators are really sending a signal that we understand, or they understand, that there's a lot of attention being paid to this emerging capability. In that sense, it's not dissimilar than what we saw with greenwashing in terms of climate tech and climate and sustainability approaches, which has obviously been with us for several years. And the regulators are saying we have to be, again, transparent and clear in terms of the active capability, artificial intelligence capability that these organizations, or that your organization has, because anything that is artificial about an artificial intelligence story, in other words, something that's not active, cannot be presented as active. And so it's a very instructive piece of guidance for all publicly reporting organizations to be very considerate in terms of what is the, again, operational level of your artificial intelligence capability compared to a future vision that you're looking to put out. But there's very few examples now of pursuits or regulatory action against organizations. But again, I think that they're sending a signal to the market to basically say, don't use this as a way to artificially bump up your share price because we're paying attention. Now, the other side of this is also very interesting, because we know that it's not only regulators that are looking for the stories that organizations are talking about with artificial intelligence. Customers are looking for it, suppliers are looking for it, investors are looking for it, because it is such a hot topic and it is such a differentiated level of development and capability that the entire ecosystem is more and more looking at organizations and looking for their statement about how they intend to lead through this particular wave. How do they plan to effectively survive and thrive in this technology-driven disruption cycle? Because we know that in previous technology disruption cycles, many organizations have fallen behind quite significantly.
Yeah.
And that is being seen as a differentiated risk.
Absolutely. You say that, and something that I was also looking at, the risks and consequences being acknowledged and materializing, right? Like you said, they're sending out signals out there. The nature of the business landscape is that there is pressure, right, for companies to keep up with the times. So what's interesting is, according to a Bloomberg report from earlier this year, AI mentions in companies' annual securities reports have risen, with over 40% of S&P 500 companies mentioning AI in their most recent report. In addition, for those S&P 500 companies that did cite AI on their Q4 2023 earnings calls, they have seen a better average stock price performance over the past 12 months compared to the S&P 500 companies that did not mention AI. What are the pitfalls entrusted corporate leaders should look for as they take the leap into this new territory without compromising their shareholders' investments?
Artificial intelligence also presents a portfolio of new risks, be they ethical, cybersecurity, privacy, copyright, regulatory developments that organizations, of course, need to be paying attention to. And there's some keys to getting this right. There's really some commonality in terms of the roadmap and the approach that organizations follow to do AI safely, right? To evolve their strategy and implement their strategy safely. Number one is making sure that there's very clear transparency and high quality in the data that's being used. Number two is paying attention to the emerging regulatory frameworks, be they from the US, the European Union, China, other areas that organizations operate in. In the United States, there's actually a number of states that have been considering specific artificial intelligence laws within their domains. Making sure that we have the right kinds of technical documentation for how these tools are being built and monitored and refined. Making sure that we have human oversight. Making sure that we can answer how does this work to the best of our ability, right? So there's some basic approaches that organizations should be working into their implementation in anticipation of the kinds of scrutiny that we already see coming through. And then on the sort of security or cybersecurity front, we're seeing just extraordinary developments. Gen AI can not only create new complex solutions, it can actually create new complex attacks. So we're already in a world where Gen AI is creating new attacks, and Gen AI therefore has to be anticipating and defending against those attacks. So it's an entirely another level of cybersecurity. But even at a more mundane level, if you think about deep fakes, we've seen a 700% increase in deep fake incidents between 2022 and 2023. And this is video, this is audio, this is natural language, this is cold calling. And so there's some, again, differentiated levels of risk that organizations have to be very actively paying attention to.
What's interesting is we saw that the US President Biden put in place the role of a chief AI officer for US federal agencies. And according to ISIS corporate data that my colleague Veronica Nikitas put together in a recent white paper she wrote, she found that when looking for AI references in the category of director expertise, that only 13% of S&P 500 companies have at least one director with AI expertise on the board, with the highest prevalence found in the IT sector. And furthermore, 34% of companies with oversight disclosure was attributed to CEO and or founder experience. It's clear that companies have a gap in governance leadership skills with AI, which makes me curious, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are as well, right? For companies who have invested in AI in their business model, which group within their organization is typically overseeing and governing its AI efforts? Who is accountable for the risks?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first thing I would say is that it's probably okay for the moment that there is what looks like a big delta in terms of AI experienced, for example, board directors, because this has developed so very quickly. And mm-hmm. when organizations are looking to bring on new directors, it's not only about a specific area of expertise, it's about a broader portfolio of skills, experience, and business leadership, you know, that makes the contribution to the board. That being said, as artificial intelligence more clearly becomes one of the things that determines winners and losers across sectors, of course, we want to be seeing more of that capability on the boards of a number of organizations. In terms of who leads these efforts for the moment, obviously the offices of the CTO and the CIO and chief data officers have very important operational responsibilities, operational roles in all things AI. We've seen very quickly this become both a CEO, C-suite, and active board conversation, again, as it has really burgeoned into this very large and dynamic and incredibly fast-moving global conversation about the new capabilities that AI represents. And so I'm seeing really, maybe for the first time, a very powerful alignment of at least initial interest across all of those levels of leadership, again, boards, C-suites, mm-hmm. and then the operating roles, to understand how to think about this, understand what's different, understand what to do about it, understand our way forward, as well as understand the very differentiated risks that the new capabilities pose to our markets, our competitive posture, as well as just overall enterprise risk management, cybersecurity, et cetera. So it's moved very quickly on all fronts. In terms of operating roles, I think that you're seeing an extension of AI engagement to chief revenue officers, certainly to CMOs who've been active users of AI for quite a long time. There's more and more capability across enterprise functions, which means that basically everything from customer service to accounting to supply chain to operations to HR and talent all have existing opportunities to be taking advantage of these AI opportunities, which just further informs the need to have really enterprise level, C-suite level oversight. So it's definitely with many CEOs, more and more boards are getting engaged and starting to ask differentiated questions because of the clear strategic impact of all of these developments. But I think you're starting to see also pretty broad distribution of artificial intelligence responsibilities across the organizations as well.
Yeah, I think a broad distribution makes sense because it touches everybody, right? Yeah. Everyone's involved with AI integration. Now, as we conclude the episode, Ryan, what are your thoughts and perspective on how you see AI developing and impacting how companies sustainably manage and take responsibility for their impact on the world and society moving forward?
I think that we're at a moment in time where leaders of every stripe really need to be asking themselves if they are thinking big and broadly enough about the potential of artificial intelligence to change markets. This is not only a micro question. This is not only an industry competition question. This very quickly has emerged as a geopolitical conversation because of the differentiated impact that these emerging, in particular, but not exclusively, generative AI capabilities represent. There has been a tendency in previous technology cycles to underestimate both the impact as well as the speed. I think largely the world has understood the speed of this particular shift. The impact is really emerging on a daily, certainly weekly basis as there's more and more announcements of different kinds of capabilities, different discoveries, different solutions that organizations are bringing to market. With that said, there is an analogous level of displacement, of risk, of disruption that accompanies these really superpower kinds of levels of productivity and solution engineering that we're seeing today. And it's the responsibility of all of us, I would say, to be paying attention to those. There are livelihoods at stake. There are communities at stake. There are some things as tactical as the education of both our teams in organizations, but the education of children through their entire sort of development that is going to be changed and augmented by these capabilities. There's extraordinarily new levels of cybersecurity threats and fraud threats and blatant lying in communications and blatant misrepresentation, personalized attacks, personalized security and privacy risks. And so the broader point here is to understand how to balance the offense with the defense, how to balance the value creation side with the responsibility that we feel to society and to the communities in which we operate. And it's a big question because it's moving very, very big. We're at a moment in time. Anytime you have a conversation like this, it's a moment in time. Mm-hmm. And a few weeks later, the world seems to have moved on to another click in terms of the capability. And so creating a framework that explicitly requires our organizations to consider the holistic impact of this particular technology wave and to revisit that on a very frequent basis, I would suggest minimally at a quarterly level, not an annual planning cycle level, but minimally at a quarterly level, is the kind of structure that's going to pay off significant way for most organizations.
I absolutely agree. I think it's everyone's responsibility to understand what's going on. It's impacting everyone, right? And organizations top to bottom in society and how we live. So totally agree that it's everyone's battle, but also being very diligent, companies being very diligent in assessing every quarter, like you said, versus how they typically address other things on an annual basis. This was very, very informative and empowering, Ryan. Thank you so much for your time and contribution to the ESG Unlocked podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me. I enjoyed it.
This was ESG Unlocked, brought to you by ISS Corporate. As your host, I appreciate you listening in and encourage you to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues, as our mission is to help you better understand the evolving governance, compensation, sustainability, as well as the cyber risk landscapes. To keep up to date on new episode releases, you can subscribe to ESG Unlocked on your preferred streaming service. You can also follow ISS Corporate on LinkedIn for additional insights as we continue to explore and unlock the value of ESG.